Salam and hello, Jigars and Johns. I'm Medina Michelle, and you're listening to me share my thoughts and experiences as an Afghan woman. I discuss cultural taboos that lead to deep impacts on our mental health. With the tools and coping techniques that I share, together we can destigmatize the topic of mental health in our communities. Together we can redefine our culture and make it even more beautiful than it already is. Welcome to a safe space and community. Welcome to Unfiltered Afghan, Not Dewana. Thank you for being here. Did you guys miss me? I think my listeners are used to me taking these breaks, and the only positive outcome that I could take from these constant breaks is that me taking these breaks is just evidence that mental health is so important. As you guys know, I have so much going on, and with school, with certain, you know, events that happened in my life, I wasn't able to give the time that I wanted to my podcast, but it's okay. 2022 it was the year I started my podcast, and I thought it'd be full of more content, but that's okay because 2023 will be our year. So welcome back, everybody. This podcast is my passion, and I've mentioned that hundreds of times, but sometimes to pursue this passion, you need to be sane, you need to be focused, and you need to be organized. And for the last few months of my life, I was not any of these things to the 100% of my ability. And I have been wanting to end season one of my podcast, but after the long break, I just couldn't figure out what the last episodes should be. So I thought about it, and in a few episodes, I've mentioned that my dad was an absent parent in my life. Now, before we go into this episode, I just want to say there is a content warning on this episode. There is a trigger warning on this episode. I will be mentioning grief, death, loss. So if you cannot handle any of that, please take care of yourself and maybe don't listen to this one. But so I just wanted to note that. So like I said, in the few episodes, I've mentioned that my dad was an absent parent in my life. And on September 23rd, we lost our dad. He passed away. And I thought that it would be important to kind of not really clear the air, but I thought it'd be important to share my experience because this was an experience I never thought I'd have in my life. And like I said, the whole goal of this podcast is to make you feel like you're not alone. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I just wanted to share my experience of what happened. It took me a while to be strong and to share this experience. It's probably not going to be easy throughout the episode, but before we get into that, let's just get back into the breaks that I've been taking. As you guys know, I'm in school, and my son had a very hard time transitioning into kindergarten. He was in pre-K at this like small, you know, preschool. It was like a nonprofit center. It was a small center for children. And then he transitioned into elementary school, and that was very tough for me. And that all happened while it was the beginning of the fall semester. Now, the last two semesters I've been in school, I started school again officially last fall, and I made dean's list for the fall semester. And even though I was only in two classes during the spring semester because of my job, I made dean's list. This semester I will not be making dean's list, so it's been tough, but I'm bouncing back, and you know that proof is me recording this episode. So I just want to let you guys know that it's okay to sometimes not be okay. I wasn't okay the last few months, and it's okay, and I'm bouncing back, and luckily I have a support system. Please, please embrace your support system when you feel like you're not feeling okay, because that's what I had to do. Now, let's see. So I've been through a roller coaster of emotions the last few months. Losing my dad was the third major loss I've had in my life. As I've mentioned before, I've lost my cousin, I've lost my childhood best friend, and now I lost a biological parent. And I don't like to say that I learned from a death. I don't think deaths should teach us things, but I don't think we should wait for a death. I wish I didn't wait for my dad's passing to teach me the things that it taught me. I wish I kind of learned them earlier on in life, and I'll get into why. But I think it's important to start off talking about grief. Few of us will make it through life without losing someone we love. It's inevitable for some of us. And I forgot where, but I read somewhere that grief is the cost of love. A sense of yearning and sadness develops after someone dies. And it honestly is, I feel, sometimes the price we pay for the close relationships that we treasure. What was personally difficult for me was that the last two major losses, my dad and my best friend, I suffered were with people who I did not have a close relationship with at the time of their death. And I think that in a way that that's what hit me so hard. So, I mean, I'll be getting to the specifics about losing my dad later on in this episode, but let's get back to, you know, talking about grief. Dr. Mary Frances O'Connor, a psychologist, explained on Speaking of Psychology podcast, the difference between grief and grieving. And I thought this was important to share because reading that cleared like my thoughts on things. She says that grieving can be thought of as a form of learning. She said, and I quote, "Grief really is that feeling that you have, that sort of intensity that just overwhelms you and that sort of momentary experience. Grieving, on the other hand, is the way that grief changes you over time without ever actually going away. For example, the first 100 times you get knocked off your feet by that feeling of grief, that wave of grief, is that wave of grief. But the 101st time, it may be just as awful, but it may also be a familiar feeling so that now you may have some ways to comfort yourself or you may know how to reach out to someone in that moment," end quote. And when I read that, I think it was like that in itself is, it was very self-explanatory to me because, and I'll get into why. So even though the feeling hasn't necessarily changed, our relationship to the feeling of grief changes over time. And the reason that people have found this to be so useful, I think, is if we expect that we're not going to feel grief in the future, that somehow it's going to be over, then we'll be disappointed years later, even like decades later in your life, when we come across something and suddenly we come across that grief and suddenly we get all teared up and we have that wave of grief again. So it doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong in our grieving process. It just means that in that moment, we're aware of loss of something really important. Now, when I lost my dad, I went to a rabbit hole research upon grief. I wanted all the facts. I was interested in why grief was causing me to reach to certain situations differently than I normally would. And I also wanted to get rid of the guilt I was feeling. I felt in the beginning when my father died, I felt very guilty for feeling sad about losing him because I wasn't in his life. He wasn't in my life. We didn't have a relationship. So, and everybody called me crazy, you know, and but anyway, so when I read this part of her interview, I immediately thought about the grieving process as an Afghan. And this is how I'm relating it to this. Overall, my community was very, very supportive to me and my siblings. Our mosque coordinators, other mosque members, other friends, the way that they pulled through for us and guided us, like in regards to giving my dad the most respectful Islamic burial and funeral. I am eternally grateful, as I know my brothers are. We are, and my sister, we are eternally grateful for the help that was given to us for, you know, like we had no idea what to do. I mean, yes, we've dealt with death, but this was the first time that, you know, we were in charge of doing everything. And, you know, I'm just very, very grateful. If the car accident didn't happen, my dad would have he would have been okay. He was a very healthy man. He was a very wise man. May Allah bless his soul. May Allah forgive him and grant him Jannah. He was a very wise man. He was smart, you know, intellectually he was smart and physically he was able. And I'm able to say this now because the 3 weeks before my father passed, I made the decision to go see him. I really want to thank my husband because if it wasn't for his support, I wouldn't have been able to go through that whole process. And I also, as the youngest of six, as you guys know, my dad was absent. He wasn't in my life. He did abandon us and nothing changes that fact. That was something that did happen. But I chose to go see him. And a lot of it stems from being Muslim and getting rid of this anger, but you know, everywhere in Islam, like we're taught to be peaceful and we're taught to, you know, Allah gives us the right to forgive people on this earth, you know, and I knew I had that right, and I knew I had that power. Well, power is kind of a negative word, but I knew I had that. So I decided to go see him, and for the next 3 weeks, that was 3 weeks before his passing, I spent some time with my dad for the first time in my life. I got to talk to him. I had like maybe 3 or 4 very important conversations with him. I got my peace. I said my piece to him. And for 3 weeks, I got to know this man who was my dad, who was my parent. And it's like when you get to know somebody, like, you know, you're first starting to get to know somebody. That's how it was. I separated him from the abuse to my mother. I separated him from the fact that he wasn't in my life. I separated him from all the negativity and all of that. And I just was like, all right, I'm going to pretend like this is a new person I'm meeting in my life, and he just happens to be my parent. And I'm happy I did that. I really am, because I got to know this man. Aside from his decisions, aside from his actions, his past life, I got to know him for who he was. And man, that guy, may Allah grant him Jannah, he was a smart man. And he was a very smart man. And he was so wise. And in the 3 weeks that I got to know him, he just was telling me to respect my mother, respect my family, be a good wife, be a good mom, be a good sister. And I'm very grateful, and I'm very happy that he left this world with me having good memories, and I'm grateful for that. But so basically, let's get back to the process of grief and grieving. So like I said, overall, my community was very, very like supportive. But during, I need to address some comments I had to deal with, because the goal of this podcast is to make Afghans, us Afghans, realize that some of the things that we say and some of our thoughts and ideals should be changed. So I had to deal with some comments. Now, during the funeral, so his burial and his funeral were in one day. During the burial, I want to say I was strong. I had to hold it together. My sister wasn't doing very well, and my brothers were just not my, I call him my little big brother, but he wasn't doing really well. So I felt like I had to be strong for them. But it wasn't easy, obviously. And during the nighttime, when it was the funeral, we had a program at the mosque. I broke down internally, and I just was not there. And before I get into some of the negativity, I just want to thank my friends. You guys know who you are. Apparently, there were times at the mosque. I don't remember. I was so numb. It's so hard for me to remember that night. But my sister and my friends, there were times where apparently I just looked lost in the mosque, like throughout the program. And my friends pulled me aside. A few of my friends pulled me aside when I needed to, when they saw I was being lost, and they came up to me to make sure I was okay. They put me in a separate room. And I'm like tearing up as I'm saying this, because I really needed that. I really needed to be seen that night, and I was. And you guys know who you are. And I'm really grateful that I may not see these people every day, but those friends of mine, my sister, she knew, thank God she was there. I don't know what I would have done if my big sister was not there. And because it was just a roller coaster of emotion. So I'm really grateful for that. But I have two khalas come up to me, and I remember them distinctly. And they both asked me the same thing at different times. They said, "Why are you crying? I thought you didn't like your dad. I thought you hated your dad." Now this, you listeners must be thinking, oh my God, how could somebody say that? In a way, it made sense. If you put together all the comments I've made over the years, the fact that I've made it known that my mom was there for me and, you know, he wasn't. And so it made sense. Obviously, not the time, not the place, not the choice of words. And it hurt. So what I want to say about this comment, and what I want to say so that, and no one else in the Afghan community, is something traumatic is happening in front of you to somebody in your community, to a fellow Afghan, to anybody, please, please consider your choice of words, consider the time, consider the place. And sometimes, like, this comment shouldn't have been said at all. And, you know, a couple weeks later down the line, I've also, people made comments to my husband, a few of the men, you know, why is your wife so sad? Like, we thought, like, he wasn't in her life. It doesn't matter whether my dad was in my life or not. And I gave the justification that I spent 3 weeks with this man. And even though I got to know him, and yes, it doesn't erase the actions and the bad things that he did and the fact that he wasn't in my life. But my dad left this life having a relationship with his daughter, with me. And I will not let anybody take that away from me. So if I know Afghans have a lot to say, and I know I can't shut everyone's mouth, and even me, I've been guilty of this. My mom, we've all been guilty of making those comments. But whether they're intentional or unintentional, and these people probably came from the right place, but please, 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 when you are watching somebody go through a traumatic experience, when you are watching them go through a tragedy, please consider your choice of words. That's all I need to say about that. I can safely say I now consider my choice of words, and that's all I want other people to do. And that's how we should all be, you know? So now I think it's important to get to another important thing that I wanted to talk about, which is forgiveness. So like I said, I will not let anyone say anything negative about my father, and I will not be saying anything negative about my father. And that's that. We are all answerable to Allah for our actions in life. And I've realized that, and I am no one to hold it against anybody. And, you know, but I think it's also safe to say that just because I'm having this experience also, this doesn't mean that you need to go and forgive somebody for hurting you or for, you know, forgetting what they did and all of that. This is my experience, and I am choosing to share my experience. Please do not listen to this and judge me. Please do not listen to this and think that you automatically have to forgive everybody that hurts you in your life. That is not the thing. This is solely me sharing my experience, and I'm a very different person than all of you guys. We all are different people. The hardest part of me deciding to go see my father and give him the relationship of a father-daughter bond had a lot to do with my mom. Growing up, my mom has never once said anything bad about my dad. I mean, yes, it was visible he's not there, but like, I can't even like stress this. She's never said anything bad. She's always pushed me to go see him, and she's always pushed me to just forgive him and build that relationship. But I didn't, because I will do it on my own terms. I have that right. You know, and there's six of us, and all six of us have that right to have whatever relationship we want. Now, yeah, my mom played a crucial role in my journey with my dad before he passed. My whole life, I felt an absence of peace, and I didn't know what this was until my heart forgave my dad, until I was done being angry with why he wasn't in my life growing up. Many people think of forgiveness as letting go or moving on, but there's just so much more to it. Like, a common but mistaken belief I've found that forgiveness means letting the person who hurt you off the hook. Now, this is where we mistake forgiveness as the same as justice. Forgiveness is not the same as justice, or reconciliation for that matter. Forgiveness is considered, it's also, I feel like some people consider it a sign of weakness or a sign of losing. But if you think this, then you honestly truly have never forgiven someone. And like I said, you don't have to do this. This is what I did. The sense of strength that forgiveness has given me the last few months is a feeling that I've never had in my whole life. Research has shown, a few articles, that forgiveness is linked to mental health outcomes such as reduced anxiety, depression, as well as fewer physical symptoms. And honestly, like, there are so many proven benefits of moving on, but forgiveness can be a very, very hard concept for people to embrace. I'm aware of that, and I respect that. It felt unfair to me for the longest time for me to have to put in the effort to forgive when I didn't do anything wrong. I did absolutely nothing wrong in that situation, and to this day, I stand by that. But the anger that was consuming me, it was so powerfully destructive, and it developed toxic emotion. Like, I developed toxic emotions over time, holding on to that anger without even realizing it, physically and emotionally. And like I said, I need to make it clear that there are different levels and situations where people are capable of forgiveness and people are capable of forgiving. And like, that needs to be understood. But in my situation, I genuinely needed to do it for my own mental health and for my own continued peace, you know. And I also need to make this clear. If you are in any kind of abusive relationship, you need to establish clear boundaries for yourself before doing the work of forgiveness, if you decided to do the work of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. It does not mean returning to an abusive situation. And it does not mean that the abuse committed against you or possibly your loved ones was warranted. I just need to put that out there. But I honestly was simply like holding on to I was simply holding on to old wounds. And I was carrying these wounds subconsciously in other relationships of my life. And I released all that pain and all those wounds for my own mental healing sake. Now that I think about it, all those moments of anger that I've experienced and that have come out in my most happiest times and happiest events in my life was from this. As soon as I did the work of forgiveness and I did the work of grieving and I've, you know, accepted the loss and I've learned how to deal with it, I feel like a weight has been lifted. I feel very, very peaceful. And nobody can take this peace away from me. And me achieving this peace has nothing to do with anyone else but me. Every decision that I've made in the last few months with the loss that I've dealt with is all particular to me. I do not expect anybody else to go through this. I do not expect anyone else to forgive. I do not people in similar situations. You know, there's a lot of abandoned children out there, but it worked for me. And I'm just sharing my experience because I really, really hope that those people who are missing this piece find it, whether that's in forgiveness, whether that's in anything. Whatever is causing you to lose that peace that in your heart, I pray to Allah that you guys find it, because I've found it and I've never been so relieved in my life. The year's coming to an end. It's November. I always, you know, like everyone else does, I reflect on the, oh my God, it's December. It's not November. It's December 1st. Oh my God. It's officially the last month of 2022. So, you know, everyone always reflects on their past year, and for some reason, I always find myself in December. I'm like, wow, I went through a lot this year. But I always come out stronger. I really, really do. And I hope that me sharing this, my experiences on this episode, I hope that people understand that it's okay to not be okay. And experiences will make you they will make you stronger. They made me stronger. And I've always said this, stop telling yourself things will get better, but I've learned to tell myself things will change. The situation won't be the same. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I was in this weird situation where I didn't know. My long lost father came back, and now everyone's pushing me to go see him because he might be losing his life. And I was in that situation. But look at the situation I'm in now. My situation changed, and it's okay to not be okay. It's important to understand the difference between grief and grieving. And if you are watching somebody go through something traumatic in their life, please do not judge them. Please consider your choice of words. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. A lot of people during my dad's funeral just came and they put their hands on my head and they put their hands on my shoulder. And that meant so much. Like, they didn't even say a word. And I can't tell you how much it meant. My friend's little sister, she's so cute. She came up to me and, you know, she's little. She's literally under 15. And she came up to me and she gave me a hug. And she was just like, she's like, I'm so sorry, Michelle. And she's like, you know, I love you, right? And like, I'm like in tears saying this because when you're at your dad's funeral and you have this little innocent life coming up to you saying this, that's all I needed. It's so easy to be there for somebody without knowing what to say. And without being licensed in psychology and therapy, you don't have to have a degree to be there for somebody. So let's learn to coexist when tragedies come upon, when you see somebody go through tragedy. And let's just learn to coexist in day-to-day life. And let's just be, you know, kinder to each other. The 2022 is about to end. And I just, yeah, let's all get along. So this episode was a little bit serious. So I've decided that whenever I have a serious episode, I think it'd be funny to add a segment called What Makes Us Afghan, or Are You Even Afghan When? So I asked a few of my friends and certain things that I thought of the top of my head, but I thought it'd be this. I mean, obviously we're raising mental health awareness in Afghan communities. That's the goal of this podcast. But let's also talk about the funny things that make us Afghan and like things that just make me laugh. And I'm going to try to end the really, really serious episodes like this one with this. So hopefully you guys like this segment. Please let me know, like give me feedback on what you think. But all right, are you even Afghan if you are not standing at the door at the end of an event saying goodbye for 30 minutes, but not leaving that person's house? Are you even Afghan if you don't have red kurbachas or toshaks in your house? And are you even Afghan if when you ask your mom where something is or where to put something and she says on my head, like Bale Sarim, like put it on my head. Like, this is so funny. Like, why is it every time even to this day, I ask my mom, I'm like, oh, mom, like she'll come to my house. So my mom has this habit, like, and I let her, but she comes and rearranges everything in my house. If she doesn't like the way something is, she rearranges it. And let's not get too deep into it. I've heard comments, oh my God, I could never let somebody touch my house. My mom has she has every right to do whatever the heck she wants in my house. So she comes and like, so my mom really doesn't like that I keep my masala. So the way my kitchen is like, organized, I keep like my teacups and my masalas, like it's like two big cabinets, like, you know, you open the left side of the cabinet and it's like my masalas and then the like spices, and then the right side is like my teacups and tea stuff. And she gets so mad. She's like, why every time that we take out teacups we have to like wash it because it smells like spices? But I genuinely, like, if you look at my cabinet space, I don't have any other place to put it, because where my oven is, I need my spices right next to my oven. But anyway, so my mom comes and she rearranges it. So every time I'm asking her, she rearranges things in my house. And I call her the next day, or like if she leaves or if she's here. And I said, oh, mom, like, filanid kujamadni. And then she's like, I was like, kujaya, kujaya. And she goes, bale sarim. And I'm like, bro, I know it's not on your head. Just tell me where it is. That's so funny. And then another one that I thought was like really funny. I don't know if like, are you even Afghan if you don't drink green tea, even when it's 100 degrees outside? Why do we do this? Why are we in Lake George or beaches and parks and it is like literally 100 degrees outside and we're sitting outside? And why are we drinking green tea? And why can I like not drink? Like, I need to drink green tea. Like, I need to do that. And it's just so funny. Like, I will not change that. I will always drink green tea even though it's 100 degrees outside. Okay, so that ends that segment, and this brings my episode to an end. It feels so good to be back. I feel so good to be in front of my microphone, and I am just so happy to be here. And thank you once again for everyone who tunes in. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you for the support. Like, the fact that I haven't recorded an episode in like 3 months and I'm still getting messages and I'm still getting emails, you know, saying, oh my God, I'm listening to your podcast. I love it. And the fact that my numbers are still going up, I think that's amazing. And I appreciate every single one of you guys. As always, if you have any ideas for episode topics, if you want to be a guest on my show or on season 2, or if you have ideas for a guest that you think would be great on my show, please email me medina.mua1a@gmail.com. It'll be listed in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here. You were listening to Unfiltered Afghan Not Diwana, hosted by yours truly, Medina Michelle. And remember, I hope everybody has a great, great, positive, happy mental health Monday. Khudafez, and bye, everyone.